listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Do You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Maafa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy. Uprooted out of Africa, our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Maafa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman, we always resisted and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope all is well with you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, need to do, should do, better do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope that the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But if it wasn't, well, I know. You got it done. Or you did it before the weather got bad. How about that? Okay. Yes. You're listening to African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to the archives, timeforanawakening.com. timeforanawakening.com. Look for the red, black, and green lion with African posed, and then click on that, and there'll be other programs. I want to thank my good friend, Brother Kwaku, and my good brother, Dr. William Rogers, for assisting me. I was not here last week, as some of you have noted, and I appreciate all those who called with condolences and concerns on the passing of my nephew. And appreciate that very much. So I want to thank them and thank all those who sent well wishes. This is African Perspective, as I stated. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Other programs here on the Time for an Awakening Media lineup on Mondays today, this evening, is Acres of Diamonds from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Following right after Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365. Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. Tomorrow, Tuesday, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers, and that's from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. On Wednesdays, from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. is Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness. On Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern Time, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's not me, it's Sister POC and her program Revive, once again, on Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening, once again with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. It is the largest online market for American African owned businesses. It's WeBuyBlack.com. Products that are produced, not just we went somewhere and bought some stuff and now we're selling it. These products are produced by us. You have toothbrushes, batteries, deodorant, liniment for aching bones and muscles, all kinds of laundry detergent. Man, a lot of stuff. So check them out. And if you're in the Atlanta area and you are in near Greenbrier Mall, you can stop there. They have a kiosk there, and you can purchase right from the kiosk. WeBuyBlack.com. Bomani Tayembe, my good brother, AfricaForTheAfricans.org. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. He's taking a trip once again to Ghana. It's going to be in May of this year, 2019. You might want to go on that trip. I'm going to talk about that today, the right of return, the right of abode. I think it's very important in what other things that are happening on the continent. Like I said, I want to get the brother in to talk about the transportation, the accommodations, the business investment opportunities, the repatriation, all those great things that are happening and things that we need to understand and begin to embrace if we are truly going to be a people again and to have self-determination and liberation and sovereignty for us as a people. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. If you want to check out photos, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to check out videos of the previous tours, the most recent this past November, check out YouTube.com/Bomani2007. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Or give the brother a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. Shrine of the Black Madonna, books, and everything else you think you might want that is African-centered. They have clothing. They got the red, black, and green shoes. Red, black, and green shoes. They have them right there. In fact, I was listening to Elliot and Brother Richard last night, and Brother Joe from Philly called in. He had on some of the red, black, and green shoes. He had on the ones that I love, the Nat Turners. That's right. That's right. Nat Turner got his shoe, y'all. That's right. If Kobe can have one, and LeBron and Michael Jordan, them busters, that's right. Nat Turner got a shoe. Check it out. Shrine of the Black Madonna, located at 946 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard here in the West End, here in Atlanta. The number to call is 404-549-8676. 404-549-8676. And they, like I say, they have all kinds of stuff there. They also have a class. Every Saturday, Black History class, Know Thyself. Good Brother Olatunji is the instructor, and it is free. It is from 1:30 to 3:30 at the Shrine. Good information being given out. Also, if you want to have the history and you want a multimedia library, they have that available for you, the most extensive cultural library of its kind. Over 15,000 video files, 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, and over 2,000 books, all contained in 4.5 terabytes of African enlightenment. Call once again to the Shrine of the Black Madonna, and they'll have that available for you. Okay? Also, books. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Medu Netcher, the writings of the gods in the Greenbrier Mall. If they don't have the book that you're looking for, they will get it for you. Also to my good brother, Brother Jamu at the Black Dot, Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, 404-519-8107, 404-519-8107. There is light in the Black Dot. He also has the red, black, and green shoes, and a bunch of other good stuff for you. And if they don't have what you want, they'll get it for you. That's right. Us Lifting Us. ULU, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people, in the spirit of Ujamaa, we're asking you to become a member. We're asking you to go online to usliftingus.com. Check it out. We're also asking you to listen to the broadcast every Thursday on Block Talk Radio, 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789 at 9 p.m. on Thursdays. Listen to the broadcast for Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa. We also have a cafe, Cafe ULU. We put that money together. It's a cooperative. We put money together to provide goods and services for our people, and we created a cafe located 2036 Sylvan Road in the Sylvan Plaza, right off of Georgia Highway 166 and I-7585, just right off of there, Sylvan Road exit, and bam, you're right there. And we open Monday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., Tuesday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and we have coffee. That's right, we have African coffee.
My favorite, of course, is if you listen to this program, you know it is Cameroon Boyo. Cameroon, Tanzania, Kenya, Ethiopia, where coffee originated from, and so much more. So much more. Everything we sell at Cafe Ulu is produced by us. One of the products we sell at Cafe Ulu is Ambrosia. My good brother, Brother Novak Young, Ambrosia. He put this product together, and it is a great, delicious vitality drink. All drinks contain alkaline water, ginger, turmeric, organic cane sugar, and chlorophyll, as well as hibiscus, as well as cinnamon, aloe vera, cayenne, spirulina, all these good ingredients, delicious natural ingredients in Ambrosia. Brother Bomani Barudi, Brother Mwalimu Barani Bomani Barudi, my good brother Baba Barudi is having a PowerPoint presentation this Saturday at Wadada Health Market and Juice Bar, Wadada. It's located 878 Ralph David Avenue, once again in the West End, right up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, just a block up the street from it, right across the street from the West End Mall. And it starts at 5 o'clock from 5 to 9. The Elements of Warriorhood. The Elements of Warriorhood. Also, Brother Baba Barudi, his lovely wife, Mama Ya Barudi, for African Sisters Only, discusses navigating the challenges of African womanhood, featuring yoga with Mama Yemi in a sister circle. That will be Saturday, February 2nd, from 5 to 9. And that is also at Wadada Health Market and Juice Bar in the West End. That's Saturday the 2nd. Baba Barudi will be in Baltimore area on that day. He's doing a presentation in the Baltimore area. And then on March 2nd, at the Sweetwater, at the Sweet Spot in 675 Metropolitan Parkway, it will be the 20th anniversary celebration of Akabin Institute and Akabin House. And it's a serious fundraiser, so we must support this. That's Saturday, March 2nd, and that is Baba Barudi's and Ya Barudi's school. So we got to support that. Our daily affirmations, and it's been a while, so I want to read some of the past ones because I looked over it, and there are some past ones that, because I was not here, that definitely need to be read. And I know I left on the 8th. So, in fact, that one on the 8th is a good one, Senyika. And it's January 8th. The ability to live and work together to attain and maintain freedom is not granted automatically at birth. It must be taught. This ability, this African personality, is a set of characteristics, qualities, and behaviors that must be taught, developed, and reinforced, womb to the tomb, by our educational process. I repeat, by our educational process. In order for people to extend itself through time intact, they must pass themselves, their personality, and lessons learned down through each successive generation. These things must be taught. Technological proficiency and life lessons do not come through osmosis. Those new to the society must be taught the dominant people's reasons and beliefs. They must become familiar with the internalized and internalized has their own, that their people's priorities, preferences, and dislikes and pleasures. They must learn to think within the logic behind their host's organic, mechanical, and spiritual choices. They must become acquainted with how things work for that people and the why behind choices of that people's particular idiosyncratic ways. Socialization and tradition are two factors generally related to this direct, all-encompassing transfer of knowledge from one generation to the next. And because who we are as African people have become so severely distorted within Eurocentric society, our essence and purpose must be re-explained to us in their genetic state, free from the demeaning, dehumanizing character of this alien and alienated un-African cultural wasteland. Affirm, I have an African purpose and program. Affirm, I have an African purpose and program. January 10th. Every man teaches as he acts. Every man teaches as he acts. Ptah Hotep. Ptah Hotep is of the fifth dynasty. Ptah Hotep. As strange as this may sound, there are two ways Africans can attain internal peace. The African way, a genuine harmony, and the European way, a disillusional one. We can mentally, actively, and wholly locate ourselves in either reality, but there is a difference. European sanity requires that Africans be turned away from themselves. African sanity requires that Africans be turned into themselves and distinctively away from Europeans. One cannot be both. It's that simple. When there is a compromise between what you know has to be done to save our people and what you are willing to compromise to be safe, there can be no peace. This is true for most of us. Most of us operate somewhere between African sanity and European sanity, caught in a chronic state of delusion. We know when there is a contradiction between what we say and what we do, between what we know and what we do, between what we know must be done and what we settle for. When you know you are not uncompromisingly acting as who you know you are, peace is not possible. Such contradictions are not evident in those of us who know we must answer to the ancestors and our children if we choose to not be African. Only when we know we must be matches what we are doing is there an African sanity. Only when we know we must do matches what we are doing is there in African sanity. To fully embrace a heritage of excellence and rebellion in order to return to excellence drives one toward African sanity, the only authentic peace for African people. It is the only authentic peace for African people. Affirm, I think and act within an African peace. Affirm, I think and act within an African peace. January 13th. When you fall, don't analyze you have fallen. Analyze where you stumbled. Baba Hannibal Afrique. A tripped person can take multiple steps in a free-falling trajectory before finally landing on the ground. Intelligent individuals who have fallen look for what initiated it, not at the end result. They look for the crack that their soul got caught in, not the place where the hands skid them to stop. They do otherwise. To do otherwise would be like looking at symptoms or outcomes as the cause of an illness or difficulty instead of its indicators or where it was found. African people must stop looking to the indicators of our plight to locate what caused us to fall so far from the grace of our ancestors. Knowing that we have the highest crime, incarceration, divorce, poverty, homelessness rates, and the lowest average educational attainments, incomes, and wealth, the shortest and most pain-racked lifespans, does not tell us the source of these problems. We should know that any problem's source must be understood in order to solve the problem. And even if we work to solve the problem, the solution only temporary, unless we correct it at its root. To find the root of our problem, we have to go back to home. We have to go to the motherland where we first stumbled, not here. It is there that we stumbled over our own genius and misguided humanity, as well as the feet intentionally placed in our path by impolite aliens. It is because we have not come to grips with this that we raise only to stumble again. Here, we will continue to stumble here. Affirm, I look to where we stumble to see why we have fallen and how to rise. Affirm, I look to where we stumble to see why we have fallen and how to rise. January 14th. Revolutions are never compromising. Revolutions never based on negotiations. Revolutions are never based upon any kind of tokenism whatsoever. Omar Wali, El Haj Malik El Shabazz, Malcolm X. Some Africans believe they can establish a separate, peaceful space within European-dominated territory. Let me repeat that, because we sure in the hell do believe it. Some Africans believe they can establish a separate, peaceful space within European-dominated territory, looking for that comfortable niche, that comfortable corner in European dominance, in European Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. They wrongly believe a deed, a treaty, and their timely mortgage and tax payments will ensure that the European will allow them to exist in peace. They wrongly expect that Europeans will respect their earnest efforts as good, law-abiding citizens to purchase land so they can grow their own crops, develop their own resources for themselves, and become more spiritually connected in peace with no possible threat of invasion. For some strange reason, they believe that the European has changed, blindly holding on to hope in a non-existent morality. They forgot what these people have done every time they wanted something they did not belong to them. They forgot that a land people unable to defend and keep their land is still a powerless people. Affirm, the land I claim will not be taken. Affirm, the land I claim will not be taken. Inye Sesem, the Calendar of Revolutionary Daily Thoughts. It is a good day, brothers and sisters. I hope everything is well with you. I hope that you had a good weekend. I hope that everything goes well with you today. We're going to talk about our return. I keep mentioning it. I keep stating that this program is about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people, and the reality of those four words speak to the fact that it is not here. It is not in the United Snakes of which I talk about. And yes, we all know the conflicts on the continent. I'm going to read a piece from Atlanta Black Star in the second half of the program that I think kind of brings point to that. But I know that there are some of us who are, particularly now that we see that Trump and the mindset of Caucasians, we see a serious right-wing radicalism globally. We see where Caucasians in Southern Africa are, I mean, they always have been armed, you know, and ready to continue to maintain the theft of the land that they have. They've already, of course, in certain parts of South Africa, have claimed themselves to be sovereign. There's not a damn place on this planet that an African group of people can go to and say, we are sovereign, this is ours, and build a security force and put windmills and solar panels up for energy and farm the land to be self-sustaining. Is not a place, and nowhere, but the Caucasian, the European has done it almost damn near everywhere. And to me, he can do it other places, but to me, where he should not be able to do it in any comfort is on our continent, is on our land. I know many of us, because of how we have been trained to hate being who we are, I know many of us don't claim to be African. Some of us, just like even recently you heard, I'm talking recent, many so-called celebrities, I ain't no African American, I'm just an American. I ain't no African. I'm not a black American. I'm just American. I don't see color. I'm happy to be in America. And we don't run nothing. We have no control here. But because they make you think individualistically, you think you in control. You think you running something. You ain't running a damn thing. You have nothing. Let me play this and get this conversation going. And like I said, I'm going to read a piece on Tanzania in the second hour. But this piece is, you know, this 2019, and you know, I've been talking about 2019. All last year and even previous years, marking this year has 400 years of our existence here. And to analyze that, I know I saw some information the government put out about 2019, although the government itself is not giving a dime. The federal government will not give a dime towards anything about the commemoration of our existence here of 400 years. You can get money from private entities, or maybe there might be some government money of through the art, whatever. I don't know, and I don't damn it care. Because I don't want to hear the accomplishments that we've made since we've been here 400 damn years. We still talking about the first of this and the first of that. This country and those who run it, this system, which is a global system, and those who run it, don't give a damn. Or could care less. Or don't give a rat's ass. We're going to talk about, oh, yeah, we got all these people in government, and we got all this. We ain't running nothing. We ran things more so right after our enslavement than we do today. We have no control. I live here in Atlanta where we don't have a damn supermarket that is ours. We have all these Negro peons with money. You think these folks will come together and say, you know what? We live out here in Buckhead, or we live out here in Fayetteville, we live out here or wherever, and it's all us. We have beautiful homes. We have money. We have manicured lawns. The homes are immaculate inside and out. And let's just say we pull some money together and build a strip mall down the road. So as we're leaving to go back into the city of Atlanta, when we pass that, we'll stop there and get all that we need. Or we come back home, we'll stop there and get our groceries and all that we need. No. And then now we're definitely going out there because of gentrification, which is huge here in Atlanta. In fact, where Tyler Perry has his studio, which is an old fort, Fort McPherson, which runs parallel with the MARTA train that runs north and south going towards the airport. In that area, there's a lot of gentrification going on Camelton Road and Astor and so forth, which is the area which I live. So the reality of it is, for us here in America, and the fact that our numbers from a population standpoint are not increasing. And then we talk about the demographics, because of the demographers, they said, well, by the year 2050, this is what they said about 20 years ago, that the demographer said that, by the year 2050, America will be a majority, minority, majority city. That means those who they deemed as minorities will now be in the majority. And some people hail that as some kind of thing where if that happens, we'll now be. No, no. When you talk about Caucasians, when you talk about Europeans, when you talk about white crackers, whatever, they are in control. It doesn't make any difference if they're in the numerical majority or minority. It doesn't make a difference. It doesn't. So even though, because of the constant influx, and that's one reason why they want to build that border wall, because of all these brown people, all these folks from Central and South America, as well as Mexico, they're already the highest population in California, maybe even in Arizona and New Mexico. Hell, probably approaching that in Texas. I don't know. And then you think there'll be some kind of coalition. There's some so we'll band together and now we'll outnumber the Caucasians and then we'll be running. No. No. And there ain't going to be no damn coalition with them and us. There ain't none. I know there are some good brothers and sisters who are Hispanic and Latino who understand the situation and we're willing to work. That's some. I ain't talking about some. I'm talking about those who are in control. Those who are heads of organizations. No, it's not happening. I remember distinctively in Milwaukee when we were trying to fight for this brother who got beat down by the police. And in Milwaukee, one of the most segregated cities in this country, with defined lines of segregation, they didn't participate with us. They had a march, immigration issue that was happening at that time, and we didn't march with them either. Point I'm making, y'all, as Dr. Clark said, we have no friends. We have no friends. You want a friend? Go look in the mirror. And don't you leave that damn mirror until you like what you see. I ain't talking about your hairstyle, the arch of your eyebrows. I'm talking about like who you see culturally, historically. Like who you see. When you see yourself, you see me. You see us. Like who you see. Embrace who you see. Work diligently with who you see to bring about the necessary changes that will be good for us as a people. So their understanding of 2019, and like I said, I really don't want to hear a damn program talking about all the stuff that we have done in this system. I don't want to hear it. I really don't. We've had people who have been congressmen and senators and governors, and we have had people who have been an astronaut and this, that, and the other. You know, I don't want to hear it. Because when you look at the social ills of this country, it has been and will continue to be more of us than anybody else. More of us who are massively incarcerated. More of us who have health issues and problems. More of us who have been uneducated, undereducated. More of us who, and they're making me sick with this job thing. I heard a Negro the other day. There are more people can, Donald Trump. Look at all the great things Donald Trump has done. Look at all the great things he's done. You're African American, African American unemployment is the lowest it's been since slavery. I don't want to hear it. Here is a press conference. They're talking about the. I'll tell you what I'll do. Go to a break and we'll play it once we come out of the break. And some other stuff that we'll talk about. You know, it just, I tell you, it just bothers me so bad because we don't want to see it. We don't really want to deal with it. We keep hoping and praying and marching and boycotting and voting and wishing. I'm going to take a break because I might go off here. You know, that happens sometime, y'all. I go off. So you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And this is going to be a good day. I hope it's going to be a good day for you. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and Black Talk Radio Network. com or the programs here on Time for an Awakening Media this evening. Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8. Right after Acres of Diamonds, Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. Tomorrow, Tuesday, 8 p.m. to 10, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. And then on Wednesdays from 8 to 10 as well, Revive with Sister POC. On Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturday, Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Revive with Sister POC. And then on Sunday evening, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard at 7 p.m. And, of course, the number to call that you can give your questions, comments, or concerns, or just give us your African perspective is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. I'm gonna play a piece that that was sent. I've seen it before, but you're talking about the right to return, the right of abode. Ghana has issued it, and it's a press conference. It's in D.C. The president of Ghana is there. They're waving flags. They're saying to us, this piece came out last year in October. And let's give a listen. We'll comment on it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to my channel.
It is important that in this symbolic year, 400 years later, we commemorate their existence and their sacrifices. It was in anticipation of the year of commemoration that my great childhood friend, colleague, and associate...
Let me backtrack. I apologize. I must have hit something, and I'm going to go all the way back.
Welcome to my channel again. Today I thought, you know, I had this really good hit.
I seem to have established some difficulties in this situation here, and I truly do apologize. Let's try this again.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to my channel again. Today, I thought, you know, I had this really good news that I wanted to share. I've already mentioned in previous videos that Ghana is very welcoming to Africans in the diaspora. There has been a long-standing policy that all Africans who are living in the diaspora, they have the right of return. They have the right to return to Ghana, what the Ghanaian law, you know, refers to as the right of abode. And if you live in Ghana for, I think, is it a 4, 7, or 10 years, you can apply for citizenship. But before you apply for citizenship, you don't need, like, you know, some convoluted long visa. You can stay for as long as you want, what we call the right of abode. You can do business, do whatever, just go along with your life. So we've had quite a bit of Africans who are living in Ghana now, and they've made Ghana their home. Life is not easy. It's a developing country. So if you leave places like, you know, California or New York or Atlanta, and you come to Ghana, it's not going to be, you know, all smooth sailing. But of course, you're going to be living among a sea of people who look like you and who you might find easy relating to, you know, if you don't mind some of the cultural quirks that you are not used to and all of that. But for a lot of people, they feel a sense of, you know, peace, a sense of belonging when they're living in countries like Ghana. So I just feel like we need to publicize these kinds of things a lot more. And the government of Ghana, led by His Excellency Nana Akufo-Addo, held, you know, an event in Washington, D.C. a couple of days ago, you know, admonishing the diaspora to come back, because we have this right of return, right of abode in Ghana. for all Africans in the diaspora. So I wanted to share this good news with you all and let you know that you are welcome to come to Ghana and stay, you know, whenever you want, for however long you want, if you are an African from the diaspora.
His Excellency Nana Addoo-Dankwa Akufo-Addo, President of the Republic of Ghana, presented by Mayor James Kenney, City of Philadelphia, September 27th.
The year of return, Ghana 2019, is the only centrally organized public-private partnership and the first by an African country to commemorate 400 years of the arrival of the first enslaved African to the United States.
We want to be able to give our ancestors the worthy honor that they deserve through their resilience of producing the greatest generation of Africans that ever existed. That is our mission. Our mission is to remember what they have done, to remember their sacrifice, but to also be worthy of that sacrifice to produce and manifest a generation of Africans that can manage our own affairs in reality and that can also be the masters of our own destiny. That is the generation we want to proclaim Africans to be today. That is why we want to commend the government of Ghana. We want to commend the president of Ghana for taking on this bold initiative to do something that's never been done before, to proclaim a year of return. That's not just one event. That's a historical statement, Mr. President, which we want to commend you for, putting your name to this, putting your administration to this, and inspiring Africans. Let's change the narrative. Let's lift up the African image. Let's make the African of the 21st century a new African. 400 years is long enough for other people to proclaim and to write and to declare our narrative. African people must write their own story. The year of return, Ghana 2019, will manifest that new kind of African.
Your Excellency, I came to honor you for your leadership, for the leadership that you will give the right of return. And I know my colleague Gwen Moore spoke, but I wanted to give the passion to this great resolution sponsored by my colleague, the Honorable Bobby Scott, to let you know that H.R. 1242 lives and breathes. It is not an exclusionary resolution. It does not exclude those who do not walk in my history. It gives us the opportunity. And so, to the Minister of Tourism, to the Foreign Minister, to the delegation of the President, to President Nana Akufo-Addo, we are here to say thank you. For you have taken the gift of H.R. 1242 and you have said, along with this great committee and its leadership, that we welcome you, my brothers and sisters, in the continent of which I honor, and Ghana, with its amazing history, will be in the forefront of galvanizing and cementing this wonderful relationship between the nation of the United States of America, the people of the United States of America, and the great Republican nation of Ghana, with this wonderful president and first lady who is leading us into the 21st and 22nd century. May the blessings of all be upon you. Let us be connected through our ancestry and the spirits, and let us never forget the dark passage, which will turn into the light of return in this wonderful year of 2019, commemorating our first venture in 1619. God bless all of you. God bless Ghana, and God bless the United States of America.
It's a very emotional day for those of us who have come to reunite with our family here. Everything that we have listened to, every person who has spoken, one single thing resonates: come home. And it's a very powerful statement. So I wish to reiterate that commitment that Ghana, under the able leadership of our president, who has shown total commitment by being here today with us to launch and to commemorate the year of return, I repeat, come home. Please take this message from this confine of this room and tell everyone and everyone, pay it forward, that we as Africans have the spirit of resilience. We are here for a purpose, to tell the story. So those who have lost hope will see that they are still alive for a reason. There are young people on substances that have no business being on. It's because they have lost their way. You and I will use this occasion under the auspices of His Excellency, the President of the Republic of Ghana, who has opened the doors for you and I to tell the story of the resilience of our people.
We're gathered to initiate the year of commemoration of one of the most momentous events of history, the commencement of the transatlantic trade, slave trade, which brought tens of millions of Africans to the Americas, North, Central, and South. We know of the horrors that accompanied that forced journey. We know of the brutalities that were meted out to them during their stay in the Americas. We know of the great difficulties they have encountered in attempting to assimilate and live and maintain their dignity in the Americas. We know of the extraordinary achievements and contributions they have made to the life of the Americas. And it is important that in this symbolic year, 400 years later, we commemorate their existence and their sacrifices. It was in anticipation of the year of commemoration that my great childhood friend, colleague, and associate, the late Jake Otanka Obecha Bilamte, then Minister of Tourism in President John Ajekum Kufuor's government, a government of which I was part as foreign minister, launched in celebration of Ghana's Golden Jubilee, the Joseph Project, the project that identified the need to symbolize the return of the prodigal son who was lost and found. I would like to dedicate this whole ceremony and this to his memory. He insisted on granting easy visas to all returnees, and that we should give force to the right of abode. I think it is the duty of my government to do both of those things in commemorating next year. But I would like to say in conclusion that the most important consequences of all the activity we're here to initiate is that together on both sides of the Atlantic, we will work together to make sure that never again will we allow a handful of people with superior technology to walk into Africa, seize our peoples, and sell them into slavery. That must be our resolution, that never again, never again. Thank you.
So you see, brothers and sisters, if you want to, you have that opportunity. It is there for us to return. It is there for us to get land. It is there for us, not just in Ghana, but in other places as well. Now, I know, and you know, that the northern part of Africa is not welcoming to African people, although there are African people still there, because they were there from the very beginning. But with the advent of Islam sweeping across northern Africa, which is now Morocco, Algeria, Mauritania, Libya, Egypt, the vibe is not good. In fact, in Libya, it's the worst. They are selling Africans, as the Arabs did prior to the Europeans did hundreds of years ago. Once again, we have no friends. But in the so-called sub-Saharan parts of Africa, the destabilization of many countries, the despots, the neocolonialists, the dictators, and so forth. That's why it was so important that Kwame Nkrumah and Patrice Lumumba and Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop and many others who understood that we must have a united Africa. It just can't be Ghana. It just can't be Nigeria. It can't just be the Democratic Republic of the Congo or Tanzania or Namibia, South Africa, whatever. It can't just be that. And that's why those who want to continue to take Africa's resources want to make sure that never happens. They want a destabilized Africa. They want despots. They want neocolonialists. They want to continue to rape Africa. I use that Dr. John Henry Clark quote. Has all the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. At the end of each program, let me give you another Dr. John Henry Clark quote from 1948. My good brother, Dr. William Rogers, put this on a morning coffee meditation. My feet have felt the sands of many nations. I have drank the water of many springs. I am old, older than the pyramids. I am older than the race that oppresses me. I will live on. I will outlive oppression. I will outlive oppressors. Dr. John Henry Clark. And that's what the deal is. That's why the return is so vitally important and so necessary for serious-minded African people. No, I know there's not going to be a serious amount of us returning to Africa. I know there are so many of us who would rather go to Europe and vacation in Europe or someplace else, or even go to the Caribbean and act like Europeans, while Africans who are in Jamaica, Africans who are in Barbados and so forth, wait on them. The article that's in the Atlanta Black Star. It's from August of 2017, but it basically deals with what we're talking about today. And even though, as I looked at that video, and as you listened to it, and as you heard the president, Akufo Addo, speak about this return and not giving it the real. Yeah, I know, because they're in D.C. and there's Caucasians in the room. It's like a dinner kind of thing. And, you know, we are always so afraid to offend white folks. We've been trained that way, though. We've been trained that way. Even today, you hear somebody start talking and then when they want to say something about, they just start whispering. They start lowering their voices. And I understand the threat is real. I understand the retribution against us is real. I understand that. But I also understand we must stand up. We must develop that warrior spirit in us. That we fear no one. We don't fear this system. We know that there's nothing we can do to change this. The change must be within ourselves. Change internally, change our hearts, and mostly importantly, our minds. Tanzania possibly returns to anti-colonial roots and enacts bold laws to reclaim more control of its natural resources. Independence means self-reliance. Independence cannot be real if a nation depends upon gifts and loans from another for its development. Even if there was a nation or nations prepared to give us all the money we need for our development, it would be improper for us to accept such assistance without asking ourselves how this would affect our independence and our very survival as a nation. Tanzanian President Julius Nyerere, from a declaration he made in 1967. The diverse East African nation of Tanzania is many things to many people. Tourists flock to its Serengeti National Park, an international mecca where safari lovers can gawk at elephants, lions, leopards, buffalo, and rhino in their natural environments. Others are attracted to the vast majestics of Kilimanjaro, Africa's highest mountain, or the tropical islands of Zanzibar and Malta, home to whale sharks and beautiful coral reefs. And the multinational corporations are enticed by Tanzania's wide range of mineral wealth, its mineral riches, including gold, iron, silver, copper, platinum, and nickel, as well as gemstones like diamonds and rubies. Well, while attempting to please many constituents, the proud country is vying to become more relevant and empowering of its own people. Tanzania is the latest African nation to officially move towards nationalizing the substantial natural wealth that lies within its geographical diverse terrain. The Tanzanian National Assembly recent adoption of the Natural Wealth and Restoration and Resources Act of 2017 is a culminated effort to ensure more control over the existence of resources and revenues that escapes its borders each month. Although the legislation falls short of a full program of nationalization, it is by no means lacks teeth or has its reestablishes permanent sovereignty over its natural resources while enabling the government to revise existing mineral agreements and secure a larger portion of revenue from the international companies operating within its borders. The contracts which are entered into between private concerns and the country require that the government has a stake in the venture which they find to be equitable, says Mark Fancher, a civil rights attorney and blogger with focus on African continent. Fancher notes that the new legislation also provides opportunities for Tanzanians themselves to acquire an equitable stake in such ventures before further detailing the intent of the act. The earnings are to be recycled into Tanzania's economy. The refining of the crude oil and the other processing of natural resources has to be done within Tanzania. All of the earnings from these resources have to be maintained in Tanzanian banks and other financial institutions. And if there is any challenge or contest to the rights of the country to assert itself in this way, then those disputes are to be resolved in Tanzanian courts. Given the powerful neo-colonial military and imperial presence in Africa, as represented by the likes of AFRICOM, established in 2007 to preserve and protect international commercial interests on the continent, the U.S. African Command has now a foothold in almost every country on the continent. Tanzania's new direction represents a bold bid for autonomy on a continent where such efforts have not fared well. Only 6 years ago, an Obama-backed NATO coalition colluded to end both the life and the four-decade reign of Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi, arguably the most powerful man in Africa given his oil-rich nation and his former chairmanship of the African Union. Ultra-Western motives were apparent, given Gaddafi had committed billions to establishing the continent's independence from foreign manipulation while working towards a continental gold standard and the creation of the African Development Bank. Every time I see that, read that, brother, I just get furious. And I tell you, every time I see Barack Obama, and I know you know, you, if you're online on Facebook, you got all this damn praise for Barack Obama. All this stuff like wishing he was our president again, and all this stuff about Michelle Obama, guys, makes me sick. Because that's what I think of. I would like to say that the balance of forces globally is shifting against neocolonialism, says prominent historian Gerald Horn, author of numerous books on the African continent. I would like to say that the balance of forces in Africa is shifting toward liberation from the manacles of neocolonialism. However, speaking realistically, continues Horn, we know that the North Atlantic countries led by the United Snakes of America remain rather strong and hotly opposed to any kind of nationalism of enterprises which they perceive will damage U.S. imperial interests. Consistently, not everyone is thrilled about the country's latest move towards nationalism. It's very difficult to say why the Tanzanian government has taken these particular actions, but it is very clear that there is a view the state is not getting a sufficient participation in the share of the revenues generated. And offered Anglo Gold Ashanti CEO, who characterized these recent developments as concerning. Has a major international mining company, the South African-based Anglo Gold Ashanti, does hundreds of millions of dollars in business in the country. The new legislation equates to less revenue and influence in the Tanzanian sphere. There are also those within the country who agree with the spirit of the legislation, yet question how it will be applied. The law talks about equitable stake without defining what it is in the definition section, wrote the nonprofit Haki in a July analysis of the legislation. The Tanzanian Civil Rights Organization was concerned this lack of clarity could enable highly unchecked discretionary powers given to the president, which are susceptible to be abused, just like the discredit to enter into the mining development agreement was abused by former ministers. The powers assumed that all presidents would be patriotic enough to use these powers positively. Among other items, the Haki analysis also sought greater clarity on the requirement for earnings to be locally banked, as it is questioned if this actually applies to 100% of the earnings and to its indigenous banks or just banks domiciled in Tanzania, even when they are multinational. It's certainly not the first time a post-neocolonial African nation has attempted to navigate the intricacies and pitfalls of shedding foreign commercial influence and domination. Such efforts have typically come at a high cost. Well before the destruction of Libya, Patrice Lumumba, the first legally elected prime minister of the Democratic Republic of the Congo, was assassinated in January of 61. After thwarting the American and Belgian governments and their common desire to continue controlling the Democratic Republic of the Congo, its industry, and extraordinary natural resources. Similarly, staunch Pan-Africanist Kwame Nkrumah attempted to lead his newly independent nation of Ghana on the road to nationalism, but was ultimately deposed in 1966 coup backed by the CIA and international financial institutions who subsequently privatized many of its country's state corporations. Those two practice imperialism globally. Large Western private multinational corporations recognize the value of Africa's natural resources and wealth, and they have used any number of methods and techniques to ensure continuing access to it, says Fancher, referencing how these foreign interests instill black puppet leaders on the continent who primarily serve to preserve and advance this access. These puppets. When there have been efforts to break with this practice, there have been other efforts to pressure countries into assuring continually availability of these resources. Fancher points to the international community's handling of the home country of longtime and controversial African leader Robert Mugabe. In Zimbabwe, even the first tentative steps that were made to reclaim agricultural land were met with fierce outcry globally through the use of propaganda and other methods and measures, and culminated in an economic embargo, which in many respects crippled the country economically and provided fuel for those who wanted to blame all it on the government of Mugabe. Tanzania, which established its independence in 64 as a result of the merging of the United Republic of Tanganyika and Zanzibar, and selected the independent-minded Julius Nyerere as its first president, was also subject to this heavy imperial hand. Years ago, when Julius Nyerere was the head of the state, he embarked on a major nationalization effort to move the country toward a distinctively socialist economy. Nyerere's declaration of 1967 represented a clear and committed step toward Tanzanian self-rule, self-determination, and empowerment. While enjoying some success, the process, notes Fancher, was derailed after he left office and the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank got involved. Still, some do see some basic parallels in Nyerere's seminal efforts at nationalization launched a half a century ago and the autonomy-minded activities of Tanzania today. President of Tanzania, this new leader, in some ways is trying to walk in the footsteps of President Julius Nyerere, offers Horn, Professor Horn. After detailing how the latter established the nation as an international Pan-Africanist haven for American African civil rights and black power advocates, as well as for South Africa anti-apartheid organizing, given the historic importance of Tanzania, the recent moves by the regime in Darul Islam does not surprise me at all. There is somewhat of a tradition of nationalization in this country, echoes Fancher, and this may represent a return to that. And I wish them all the luck in the world. We have a caller, 602. Good afternoon, caller.
Good afternoon, Brother Marcus.
Hey, Brother Marcus, how are you today?
I'm doing all right.
Good.
Can you hear me clearly? Can you hear me clearly? Some people been saying they can't hear me so clearly.
I can hear you clearly. Go ahead, brother.
Good. Now, what Tanzania is doing, you know, is very intelligent. They're making the right moves. And if other rulers in Africa should follow his lead, you know, we could nationalize all the products, all the goods and services in Africa. But the problem is now, is when he nationalized that those industries, he's going to need help to run the industries. He's going to need the know-how to run the industry. And that's where we come in here, you know, in this part of the hemisphere, because we have a lot of skills and technology here that we can help those governments, you know, and help the people to come up. But it is so difficult to get this African here with the technological skills to invest himself in Africa. You know, as I told you years ago, I was trying to put some power plants in Africa and power installations in Africa. And I try to recruit people from the National Society of Black Engineers here. You know, those Negroes wouldn't budge. They would not budge. So they take their intellectual capital and they contribute it here in America.
You know, Marcus, the problem, of course, is that because they're trained here. And of course, the idea that my training here, my education here will afford me the ability, independently, mind you, to live a very good lifestyle, to live away from other Africans, to live near Caucasians, to work with Caucasians, to have an office overlooking the city skyline and all these other things. I agree with you. I've stated this many times, and I will always state it. The most technologically advanced Africans on this planet are here. And what if the most technologically advanced Africans on this planet, said, hey, we're going to go home and we're going to use our talents. We're going to use our information, our instruction, all the things that we have acquired to build the African nations. What if? But see, yeah. But the training has been, you go to school to beg crackers for jobs. You go to school, even though you can't compete, because you will never be able to compete with Caucasians on an evil footing. That doesn't happen. They allow some Negroes to get in to give you the illusion of inclusion, because you'll never compete on evil. Because if all things being equal, we kick their ass in everything.
Exactly. I had friends who graduated engineers, electrical engineers. They work for the New York City mass transit, and they complain to me. They say, you know, we don't even get a chance to exercise our own creativity, because all they hire us to do is to maintain the system. So all they do is maintain the track. There is no new thought. We don't need to think. Just maintain this track for us, you know. And you know, they get good pay, you know, whatever. But you know, they don't get to exercise their independent thinking. You know, say, look, So it's a tragedy. And another thing too. With regards to the products coming out of Africa, you know, if they had to market the products to us here in America, so we would get the top dollar for the product. You see, if they had us as the people to market the goods and services coming out of Africa, like the gold and the diamonds, then they would have to come to us here. And they would have to pay top dollar, whatever the market is paying. That's what they would have to pay us. So we could be their eyes and ears here. We market the products and services coming out of Africa here, and they'd be our eyes and ears here on the continent. It's a no-brainer. We would all come up together. But as you said, those people, I don't call them rulers that are in Africa. I don't call them leaders, because leaders are supposed to show you the way. Those people are not leaders. They are flunkies. They are puppets. And they got another crop coming right behind them now. The AU is grooming another set of puppets coming. Young Toms, no. I tell you, brother, yeah. Hoshi, they make these ones here look like school boys. I'm telling you, it's pathetic.
See,
but, you know, we have to keep on, you know, regardless.
I hear you. We do. We do.
Yes. So, we that is my thing this year, my brother, is I'm on the cash thing. You know, I'm going to get that going this year for, you know. Well, I'm going to start it for myself first, independently, because trying to get other people on board is a difficult. But, you know, with our people, once you get it started, everybody jump on board.
Well, I hope that's the case. Once it's positive and get started, I hope that's the case.
They go jump on board, my brother. You just have to have something to beat them back, because they go try to take over. You know, that's our mentality. It's jump on board. Once you get a board, let me take over now, brother. Say, hell no. You got to have a club to knock them in the head. You know what I'm saying? But we're going to keep on, my brother, and we're going to do what we have to do to win this struggle.
Ashe. Anyway,
thank you for your program, brother.
Thank you, Brother Marcus. Thank you for your contributions. Thank you always for listening. You know, what Brother Marcus is saying is unfortunately true. What I just read, what we're talking about, unfortunately is true. You know, has a person who believes in African redemption, African reclamation, African sovereignty and independence and self-determination, it is hard. I will expire believing it. I will go to the ancestors always believing it. But it is hard. Because I don't mean to sound contradictory, but it's hard because it's easy. All it is the change of our minds, the change of our attitudes. I say all the time that the Caucasian has a vice grip on our minds. And that's not just here, it's global. Because the Caucasian comes and says, I offer you the opportunity to for this education that is universal. You see, just like their theology is universal. It's not just for them, but it is imposed upon others by them, because that's what they say it is. And so going through that process, we acquire the knowledge that they give that is self-hating, that is denial of Africa, that makes you want to be European, that makes you behave and act and want to be European. And as a consequence of this denial of self, you do everything destructive to those of us who want to bring that African reality into existence. I say all the time, and I'll continue to say, I'd rather struggle in a world of my own choosing than to be a fool in somebody else's dream. The American dream is a nightmare for African people. The Europeans' dream and of conquest is a nightmare for indigenous people. Malcolm said it best, of all our studies, history is best qualified to reward our research. Look at the Europeans' history. Look at his history of late. I ain't talking about there was a time that Europeans knew what time it was. And they challenged, and they, you know, they came into Kemet. They came in as the Greeks, the Romans, and so forth. But then there was a time that they were in such what they call a dark age or a medieval age, and the only light and the only knowledge that was happening was in the west part of Europe. No, Europe is not a continent. Europe is not. But that's the arrogance of Europeans. That's the arrogance of Europeans. It's not a continent. And so what they did, of course, was hundreds of years later, got rid of the Moors, got rid of the Sephardic Jews, Charlemagne and Martel and others, and you know, reestablish European conquest, European imperialism, their so-called Renaissance. And they went around the world taking everybody's stuff in the name of. In fact, I was going to play a piece about South Africa some time ago, who are saying that they want the right to abode back to Europe. And many Caucasians did that. And I'm quite sure they already automatically have that. You know, they can, South African Caucasians who are in South Africa can come to this country, can go to Europe, definitely go to Australia and other parts where Europeans have taken and stolen land. You know, they can do that, you know. Yeah, they can do that. And I'm saying, I give less than a rat's ass. Yes, what they do affects the whole planet. But I want to focus in on what our responsibility is, what our commitment to ourselves should be. I want to focus on the right for us to return, not just to Ghana, but to the whole of Africa, to bring the resources that we have and the proper mental acceptance of Africa the way it is, and giving a vision of the way it will be, because we want to make that happen. Not just bring it into the 21st century with technology and so forth. I seen a piece last night. In fact, I'm going to talk about it. Maybe I might talk about it Friday, because I'm definitely looking forward to talking with my good brother, Franklin Jones. But there was a piece on 60 Minutes. Maybe some of you caught it. On artificial intelligence, AI. That the technology is moving so fast, especially in China. In China. China's going to dominate the world. China's going to dominate and control Africa. China's even having military presence in Africa. And as you've seen, Trump's talking about China put a check on that. Not for the sake of Africa and Africans and their sovereignty and their independence. No. For the benefit of the United Snakes. For the benefit of the Western world. Europeans could give less than a rat's ass about Africans and their humanity anywhere they are on the planet. And because the fact that Europeans have that kind of control on the planet, particularly mass media, the imagery that you see, the things that you read, and here has caused anti-African, you know, it is sad. It is sad. And it's sad that we don't have leadership. We don't have men and women that talk about this. Men and women, because we have this leadership in public office. And even the leadership in public office does not talk about what happens to African people here in this country or globally. They just follow the damn line, particularly the Democratic line, because more of us are Democratic or You know, in fact, I saw a piece where Tim Scott, who is a senator from South Carolina, who's a Republican. And now he's saying, yeah, I believe, yeah, you maybe right. There are some races in the Republican Party. Oh, really? Simply because King from Iowa kept saying some crazy stuff. He's always said that. And now the Congressional Black Caucus is asking for him to be released from committee appointments and some other kind of censorship. I don't know. I don't give a damn. But you say nothing. Congressional Black Caucus. You say nothing about what happens to African people on the continent. You say nothing. In fact, my good friend, Asmira H. And, she told me she had scheduled a reception of African dignitaries to meet with the Congressional Black Caucus to talk about establishing relationships with Africans on the continent, in these countries, and us here. And of course, the people who probably have more... to be more noted are those who are in politics. Let's be real. Politics for us. There's politics, then the clergy, then entertainers. I mean, I'm not saying that in any kind of order, to be honest with you, because, you know, ain't none of them got anything. But the people in politics, because of the perception of their ability to do some things within the political realm to help, is not there. The Congressional Black Caucus has always been inept. The Congressional Black Caucus has always been reactionary. And of course, the clergy is weak. when it comes to really dealing with issues that are affecting African people here in this country and globally. Because if they were not, they would be addressed. And of course, the entertainers are weak. Although I have to give some props to some brothers and sisters, entertainers, Boris Cujo and his wife, Anthony Anderson, Michael Jai White, and many others who celebrated bringing in this year in Ghana, and some others. I want to give them some love. In fact, there's a piece I saw on Brother Michael Jai White being installed as a chief. As a chief, and I'm not sure where in Ghana, but as a chief. In fact, he stated that they traced, I don't know if they use AfricanAncestry.com, but that him and his wife, lovely wife, they traced their ancestry, both of them, back to Ghana. For me, I know I'm going to have Sister Gina Page, who is with AfricanAncestry.com, on the program. We missed having her a week or so ago. And we'll definitely try to work that out to make that happen, you know. But, that was just kind of, as I talked about that just a moment ago, I thought about that when what the brother said, yeah, you know, not African ancestry, mind you, but if it's the same because you're still going to pay somebody to find out where you came from. Here we are stolen. Ancestry.com as well as 23andMe and so forth. So you got to pay them to tell you where you got stolen from. Yeah. Instead of saying all African people, we give you your DNA test because this is where we stole you from. We give it to you free. Here, you are from the Cameroon. You are from Senegal, so forth. You know, for me, it doesn't make any difference. I'm from Africa. Not that I was born in Africa, but Africa was born in me. I'm African. Not Ghanaian. Not Zimbabwean. Not Tanzanian. Not Cameroonian. I'm from Africa. And I'm trying my best to help us understand how important it is that we embrace that. That we come together to work with each other to make that a reality in our lives. Yes, the right to abode, I appreciate that from Ghana. I wish the other Africans, other African countries and their president would make such a dynamic claim, because even though there is the dungeons in Ghana, Cape Coast Dungeon and Elmina Dungeon, you can go there and see them, you can go there and feel the spirit of our ancestors as they were cramped in that, you know. In fact, like I said, even at that conference that I just played for you, they didn't, you know, he mentioned the horrors. But a lot of times we don't, in fact, a lot of times we don't want to hear, because many of our people are too ashamed. They're too hurt to deal with how deeply dogmatic and demented and degrading and dehumanizing the experience was. And the vestiges of that experience are still with us today. That some of us don't want to deal with it, don't want to realize it, but they are with us today. Brothers and sisters, it is interesting. It is interesting that we, as a group of people, can't get ourselves out of this vice grip that the Caucasian has on us, has on our minds. We can't step outside of these imposed boundaries that he's placed upon us to think independently, to develop clarity to ourselves and our mission as African people. It's deep. We don't understand the theologies that have been imposed upon us. Islam, as well as Christianity, and those who profess Judaism. All three of these religions. I don't know if you saw that one piece that's been going around where it says Christianity got you looking towards the heavens. Islam got you praying towards the ground. And Judaism has you wailing at a wall. The methods of prayer of those three Himyaritic religions, these three major religions. You know. But neither any of these religions are not African. They're not indigenous to Africa. Now, of course, you can argue that. You can argue the fact that, many people want to argue the fact the creation of Christianity comes out of Ethiopia. One argues the fact that Judaism comes out of Ethiopia. You know, we know that Islam doesn't, but we also know that Islam is entrenched in the northern part of Africa. It has been for hundreds and hundreds of years since the advent of it, you know, in 625. In the 7th century. Swept all throughout northern Africa up into Europe. I talked about that a minute ago when Europe was in a dark age. Islam was the light in the western part of Europe. But we don't want to break that chain. We don't want to step out of those boundaries. We don't want to release that vice grip. Many of us are very comfortable or want to seek comfort in European, Caucasian extremism, racism, and privilege. We want to find that comfortable corner, that niche. We don't want to talk about African redemption, African sovereignty, Africans doing for themselves, Africans controlling their resources, Africans educating themselves, Africans going back to Africa and building. That piece last night on 60 Minutes by the Chinese person who was educated here in America, but who now works for the Chinese government in information technology, building a massive structure of information technology for the Chinese, to the point that what he said was this. He said there's going to be many occupations and jobs that will no longer exist for people because of information technology. You're seeing it already in driverless cars. If transportation is taken over by information technology, the railroads, the over the highways, cars, ships, ports. Imagine a ship pulls in, there's no human beings. Machines go to that ship and pull off the trailers, those big containers off those ships and move those containers to where they're supposed to go, done through the technology to wherever as a distribution point, and move them from that port to cities and towns or whatever, all done by machines. We already know that machines are building cars. I mean, you know, so the equation is so whack because there are more and more people and less jobs. That's why I'm saying for us, let's go home. Not that we Not that we take the technology to Africa. No, we want people to have jobs. We want people to feel good about building for themselves, to build those roads, to build those highways, to build the railroad, to build the port, to build the schools, to build the hospitals, to build towns and villages. Physically, to do that themselves. That's what we want. That's what we want to happen. And that's what could happen. We ain't talking about all the jobs that are leaving and so forth. And we continue to beg Caucasians, please, please hire me. Let me go to your school. Let me live in your neighborhood. Let me, please promote me. I have just as, no. Get your own. The opportunity is there to get your own. You have the opportunity to go to Ghana. Not like we went to Liberia 100-some years ago with an attitude because we're from the United States that we are better than you, you Africans. We're better. We're smarter. We're lighter. No. The attitude is that we are one. We are Africans, and we come to work with Africans to build a future for us as African people on a continent with multiple resources that we control. You want them, you pay fair price. We're not like we're going to hoard anything. This ain't the comic books of Black Panther. We have resources, and we're willing to share resources for a fair price, for fair development. I know, just as Dr. John Henry Clark quoted, I end the program with, I know that you want them, think you can't do without them, and you don't want to pay for them. No, hell with that. That day is over. I know it's not over yet, but that day will end. And we, as African people, will come into the reality of ourselves as African people to control our minds, our bodies, our land, our resources. I know there were so many of us, a vast majority of us, and that's a reality, who don't want to leave here. They bought into the idea that there's as much as American as the cracker is. They don't care if we don't control nothing. Just like that legislator down in Florida. I'm glad my people got out of Africa. I'm glad Europeans enslaved us. Because I would be in Africa worshiping a tree. And then not only that, she's trying to push that you can study Christianity, or it has to be studied in schools, and impose that on people. She's pushing that. I'm going to get Brother Bomani here and very soon, probably try to get him next week. I'll give him a call. So he can come in and talk about what it's going to take, and also to his upcoming trip in May, what it's going to take for you to be a part of that trip, the money you need to save, how much it's going to cost. I think last time it was around about $4,000, but you can't beat that for what he is offering. And the opportunity for you to go to Ghana and various parts of Ghana, and for you to see for yourself. Now, you know, there are some of us who have just bought into this system so deeply that anything outside of it is, you know, dismissed or minimized or marginalized or no count or even, it, I understand that. Because I understand how some people, you know, can go to other countries and, you know, throw their nose up because they come from America, the United Snakes. They come from here. Because that's what happened when we went to Liberia back in the 1800s. That's why that country is in constant conflict to this day. This is not going to be, it's not easy. Nothing is easy. Life in itself is a struggle. You struggle as a sperm in your father's testicles. You struggle when your father ejaculated into your mother's vagina. You struggle to get past the cervix into the uterus, to find the fallopian tubes, to find that egg, to fertilize it. It is all a struggle. You struggle when that, once that egg is fertilized. How many sperm does it take to fertilize an egg? That's right. One. How much ejaculation of a sperm happens? A million. Letting you know how deep the struggle is. Once that egg is fertilized, it moves down out of the fallopian tube into the walls of the uterus and divides and grows and divides and grows and divides and grows 9 months later. Here you are. You come out in a struggle. You come out to understand your environment. It's struggle. Without struggle, there is no progress. Our struggle is to once again be who we are as an African people. I'm down with the struggle. I'm down with it. And I will do all that I can every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on this radio program, but every day of my life to help us as African people come into our own again. To do all that we can to be blessed. To be blessed with the knowledge of self and the ability to control what we have. Well, coming to the end of another program. I want to thank those who assisted, Brother Kwaku and Dr. Rogers, and those who sent me well wishes, who sent me condolences, rather, who sent me condolences on the death of my nephew. Also, when I went to Milwaukee, there were other things happening, just really deep. But I'm back, and I'm even have been as committed and even more so committed to helping to raise the consciousness of us as a people. Brothers and sisters, we end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko, that great South African freedom fighter who was killed in prison, just beaten to death. He said, "The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed." This program, African Perspectives, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, have a blessed day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodia. Abibi Fahodia means our victorious destiny. Abibi Fahodia family, peace.